Good evening, good morning, or good afternoon, whenever you listen to this damn thing. This is the Coffee and Controller podcast. I'm Yasin Barnes.
I'm Shadley Desai.
I'm Brad.
I'm Saeed.
And today, we are covering a franchise that I am not fond of.
He's bang.
Because I'm a bang brook. We are covering Resident Evil, all things Resident Evil, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the nemesis that comes with it. Yeah, but before we get to the podcast, what happened this week with you guys?
I had family issues that I needed to see too. Everything is sorted though.
Shadley basically played so in the hospital. He's just in the one room and had to figure his way out of it.
I had to just wait a timer down.
What did I play? Oh, I discovered a PS2 version of Grand Theft Auto San Andreas on my PS5 that I bought on PS4 that somehow carried over. You can't buy it anymore, but it's still there and it's playable on my PS5.
It's like you inherited it from,
right? from myself, from my past self. So I've been playing that. And while it's nice to be back in San Andreas, ooh, the controls, man, they're killing me.
Clunk, clunk, clunk.
Like, cause it is a PS2 port. So accelerate on a car is not R2, it's X. And reverse is square, not L2. And it's like, and shoot is circle, aim is L1, yes. R1, should I say. And then the lock-on mechanics on San Andreas aren't the best. It's like, I've been enjoying it, but like, for example, the wrong side of the tracks mission, where all you had to do was follow the damn train. Took me only 3 times, which I think is like probably a world record.
Did you do the trick for the game though?
I inadvertently did because nice. I was driving next to the train and I crashed and I just happened to land on top of the train, stood up, shot the guys myself, had to jump off the train and then go back and find Big Smoke, who was like 5 kilometers down the road. I had to sprint down there. Lucky I'd been to the gym with CJ.
You become a better player as a gamer. You were like, I'll sort the system out now, quick.
Yeah. From your mistakes. So it's been nice, but I can't see myself carrying on. I think I need to just do the remaster on my mobile with like the PS5 controller or something.
I was going
to
say, do you know why you can't find that OG port?
Because of that.
Yeah, because they pulled it from all the stores for the remaster trilogy. So they were like, no more ports for
you. They had a bunch of haters.
Yeah.
And but it's a fun game to pick up and play in the arcade sense.
100%.
To do the missions. Yeah. I feel like playing old GTA, you must just put in the cheats and go live a life.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning towards that now. And TV-wise, just been watching Love is Blind Season 6 and I hate Love It. I really hate Love It. I can't stand anything about the show, but we're on episode 8. Like, it's one of those things.
Heart, like a list of
yeah, all. But that's about it for me.
You say it?
I'm playing Supercard. I'm still playing it on my phone, WWE Supercard.
Did you spend money at the game?
No, I'm not going to spend money. Okay. They made the game like it's way better than it used to be because like now you can actually build your deck without grinding too much because like I'm not doing any events. I'm not spending money. I'm not doing anything I don't have a list to do. So like when I'm watching something, I'll just play that while I'm doing it.
Show me your micro.
Yeah, and it's fine. Like I was able to build up my deck like really well. So that's
you way as passionate than, about the game as you were
Fortnite
in the first wave. No, in the first wave.
Nah, in the first wave.
Were you addicted?
He was
in the first wave. It was like you had to like grind events like a card is maybe like 200 points, and then you play a game. It's like each game is like 1 point. Then you must like grind like 200 games for a card. So like I'm past that stage of like enjoying that.
Yeah.
So because once you realize in 3 months, this card is worthless. You immediately like, yo, that time, I'm not going to get that time back.
So then you just enjoy
just,
like,
just do what you can.
I really wasted way too much
time. So it is learning life lessons for mobile games.
Yeah, I played that. I didn't play a lot of Fortnite, but I'm going to play from tonight onwards or tomorrow because the update is out like now, basically. The update came out like right now as we're speaking.
What's the update?
It's the new season. So this season is like, it's called like Myths and Mortals or something, or Myths and Monsters. But it's like Zeus and Poseidon and they in the game now.
That's cool.
Their skins are, and there's new weapons. Like you can get a lightning bolt. And so I'm going to check that out. But also I've been watching Law and Order because you mentioned it. It's crazy. You know? They just say words in there that you're not used to hearing anymore. And it's like, why? It's just like, I didn't know you could say these words out loud or on TV.
Law and Order is one of the wildest shows to go back and watch. Also, because it's so basic. Like you go, you know, like if you when the A Team was out, you go in Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Every episode, the same thing happens. So they start off with a thing, the people get into it, they almost solve it at the end. That's the episode done.
Yeah.
Law and Order also has episodes where they don't catch the bad guy.
Yeah.
Just before they're about to announce who the bad guy is, end of episode.
Ooh,
they go, yeah. We done law, we did order, safe. We don't need to know who's doing the thing. And then there's like, also every actor who is famous, I feel like Law and Order is the Illuminati. And to be famous, you must go through it.
That's
like you just, I promise you, anybody just watch a random episode of Law and Order, you'll see someone you know from my other show that almost was famous and some of them become famous.
Yeah.
Then I also, this week I watched Last Airbender. Have you guys gotten into that?
I haven't watched it yet, no.
I have watched it.
It's actually good. Like it's childish, but still enough for me to go, I want to see a little more.
I have issues with it because I'm very fond of the original. And there's like some creative liberties that they took that like really impact like what the show is about. So, I have issues with the show. I don't hate it. I don't hate the show. But yeah, I'm glad that there's a season 2 and 3 now announced. So let's see what they do with it.
2, 3, and 4 or something.
No, it's 2 and 3.
Oh. Yeah, because they must also make the show before that boy grows up. That's the other thing. Whenever they shoot, even with, Luffy, what's his name?
One Piece.
Yeah, with One Piece. I go, yo, guys, you need to catch up quickly because they have how many? One Piece has seasons and years of episodes where the people look the same. You need to now start getting the stunt doubles that look the same to all the throwbacks.
That de aging is going to have to work for them.
Yeah, it's going
to
be in it.
Speaking of the stuntmen, if you haven't listened to it already, episode 2 of our podcast with Sean Wirth, stunt performer on One Piece.
Go back
and listen to it if you haven't already. And then I just want to quickly, before we move on to the bulk of the episode, there's 2 things that happened very recently. One of them today.
On the day of recording.
The creator of Dragon Ball passed away.
Which is
very sad. Obviously,
one of the most iconic series. Like
in we all send a special ten out for him.
And I'm just picturing Dub now going bye bye, bye bye.
Why must you make it like this?
What an interesting funeral he's about to have.
And then the other thing is the trailer for the Fallout Amazon Prime series came out and. I did not have high hopes, but damn, it looks good. Like
I haven't seen the new trailer. So
it's so good.
I'm kind of...
You're not going to watch it?
I didn't watch the trailer yet.
Oh, I was going to say.
I'm holding back on the trailer because I don't want expectations going into the show. I kind of want to go in blind now and just see if it looks up.
I think they've captured, from the trailer at least, and they've got Amazon money, so they're going to... Look, Lord of the Rings also did, but I think... The trailer looks very good. And Bethesda, Todd Howard's, he said recently they had been approached like over the last decade or so from production companies to make series. And this is the only one that they were happy with. So that's why they're going forward with it.
Let's
so
go.
It looks good.
I feel like when they offer in the season of any new show, sign that second season now already. Like,
because
you can already see when a show is going to pop. Just especially if it's like with The Last of Us. I go, now we must wait 2 years before you come with the next, I'll say the next batch. Just, you know what you're busy with. Start the next season. Get everybody in while they still look the same like the previous seasons. Just be
I go, why don't you just sign? If you know it's going to be a multi-season show, sign them for 2 seasons. Give them 2 seasons then.
Yep.
And then you see like after 2 seasons, if it works, it works. If it doesn't,
And now we get to the main reason for this episode. Is it's Resident Evil. If you guys ever liked scary movies or scary games, Resident Evil is for you. Something that makes your heart go fast and then stop immediately because the door opened and then fast again because there's something on the other side. A game that I did not get into because I was scared of it. Fucking Resident
Evil. Did it give you anxiety for doors opening?
Yo. Because also the thing of so much hype, because it's when you're in the room, there's a lot of fast things happening. Everything is chasing you. You're trying to find a spot that you can shoot at. And then by mistake, you press the door open and then now it's just... couldn't control my heart. Get into it there, Shadley.
Okay. So it's one of the OG series for anybody who doesn't know. This is the game that coined the term survival horror. It's the first officially dubbed survival horror game, and it's it's probably like one of the most influential franchises in video games.
I'd say so.
It is also the highest grossing horror franchise with 146 million copies sold, which is
that's wild.
It's also
also there's so many games it makes sense though.
Yeah. And not all of them did well. Like, that's the other thing.
You're about to see.
Like I said, it was also the first like series to be called survival horror, which is funny because Alone in the Dark, which some people might know, came out before it.
Yeah.
But it was more puzzle focused than like
survival
horror.
Absolutely. I remember playing that back in the day. I didn't know what was going on. The first Alone in the Dark. I'm like, what is going on here?
There's
a
new one coming out now, eh?
Yeah, very soon.
The guy from Stranger Things is the main character.
Yeah, very soon. Yeah. Looks good.
And then, is he the voice for...
No, he's like, his face is in the game. Like, he's the character. Like, he's playing the character.
Oh, wow.
The sheriff guy.
Yeah, and then also, I was going to say, Resident Evil is a big reason why zombies became, like, popular in pop culture in the 2000s. And it helped redefine zombie genre from being, like, supernatural to being scientific. Like, Resident Evil was, like...
So we have Pirates of the Caribbean. And Resident Evil, that gave us a Facebook game, basically. Pirates versus zombies versus ninjas versus mob bosses.
Versus yo, Brad, this is going back.
Versus like, vampires.
That was a bad time in my life. I was wasting too much time there. But have you guys played any of the games?
No, not yet.
Said, don't
not yet.
Not any of them.
No, not yet. Once we had a sleepover thing at school, and one of the I brought like Guitar Hero and stuff, and we all played
fun games, eh?
And then like we all were like tired, and then this one brother's like, okay, I'm gonna speed run Resident Evil 4, and then he just played it like the whole night, and then I fell asleep. But like my other friend just watched him play the whole night. I was like, well, we got a taste of what Yasin's life was like with Shadley, like just watching him but I play games.
Guys, I've played the first intros for the first game. But I've watched many hours of it. But yeah, it's one of the games I did not get into from the get-go. I was like,
Was it too scary?
It was scary, but also just clunky, and like it never ran how I needed it to go. Like there were so many other games who just went to the next level, to the next room. Like even the action always just felt like super attack. There was no like strat in the thing. It's just like shoot whatever's in front of you. Fuck it.
I disagree with you on that, but I'm going to get into it.
But you see, that's when you guys played to a point of technical. I was still in shock. And then I was like, it's scary and I don't like the gameplay. No,
nope.
Miss me with this.
So Brad, what was your first introduction? Since you like the Brad.
My first introduction was... My first memory of Resident Evil ever was my cousin. He had a PS1.
Shout out to all the cousins.
And this is when PS1 first came out in South Africa. And we were all like blown away by this machine that could play like state-of-the-art games, basically. CD. And I remember he was playing this game. I didn't know what it was at the time, but I remember seeing someone shoot something. The something fell on the floor. And then the someone who shot him went and stamped on the something's head on the floor. Explodes in this thing of blood, and I was just blown away. I'm like, you can do that in video games? That's insane. I'm used to Mario. Only later in life did I realize that was Resident Evil 2. So my first ever intro to Resident Evil was RE2 on PS1, not knowing it at the time. But as we all know, it's grown to be my favorite franchise, I would say, of all time.
Every damn episode.
which one was your first? The first one you played though?
Three. Nemesis. Three. Yeah.
The one with the worst cover art. I'm sorry. Well, at least the worst lettering. Like, guys, no man.
Yeah.
What even?
This artwork came during the phase of
let the intern do it.
No, and the emo intern, he was like, oh, I got styles. I'm going to do styles. Very much Brad's shaping of his...
my formative years. Yeah. So that was my first ever game. My first ever Resident Evil game. I didn't really know what I think my dad just bought that for me when he bought the PS1 from America. Because you can see on the cover, it's an NTSC version.
Great parenting.
And I can't believe my dad saw that cover and he's like, this is cool for a 9-year-old. Yeah. Anyway.
No, he saw the back. There was a pretty girl. Oh, yeah. The cover, he's like, boy, it's for Brad.
he's going to learn today.
Yeah. And that's the first PS1 game I also finished. Like, I played through it. I struggled. I struggled a lot, but I finished it. Yeah.
What a puzzle.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense now. That actually, now I understand why.
It was formative for him.
Yeah.
For me, it was the original Ari, and I can't remember where, like, who I got it from, but I got it at school. Somebody was selling it at school. And I was like, it's over there on the table. And I was like, okay, cool cover. It has like a dope Ari cover. And I'm like, okay, what's this about? I've never been scared in the first 5 minutes than ever. Because that's for a zombie encounter. You're like, yo, how do I shoot? Because that tank control, so you have to like aim and shoot. Then you shoot this bruh. You have 15 bullets in a clip and it took like 6 to kill him. And you're like, oh no, this is one of these games. This is going to be difficult. So then I had to put it down for a few weeks. And then I was like, okay, let me try.
Can I first say, looking back now, I'm embarrassed that I was scared by that amount of pixels.
Man.
Like nothing of that. In retrospect, looks like it was... How were you scared for PlayStation 1? He hasn't calmed down. The other thing is you bought a game from someone at school.
Yeah.
Did that child's parents say you can buy the game?
I don't know.
You know what I'm asking?
I know exactly. He was just like, yeah, I got this game. I want to say, Scott, you were sick of bang. And he was like, I don't want this. Yeah, I can get money for another game, maybe.
Did you just have the amount of money on you that day?
I didn't have it on me on that day. He was like, he wants to sell it. I was like, how much? Okay. I can't remember. It was like 50 rand or something.
Was it the copy?
Yeah, it was a copy.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, okay, let me see if I can make a plan. And I made a plan and I was like, okay.
How did you just have access to a 50 rand like that when you were...
Shadley could save money. That's one thing I know. Shadley always had money on him because he saved. He always had sticky. Shadley was...
I made sure I gave money. Like that McDonald's money trick in that room.
Speak slower. Because you're saying game money. Now I'm just like, I always have game money. Yo, calm down. You have game money. Those are two separate words, please.
He might have both.
Who are we to love? Who are we to hate here?
Why are you judging me? But yeah, that was my like first introduction. And I was going to say, like you were saying, like how it was difficult to play at the time. For me, this is like mind-blowing because it took like the Metroidvania sort of like exploration. Yep. It took the puzzle games, it took action games, and it took horror, and it made it into like one thing, you know? So you go, this is so different at the time. Like, I have to like figure out how to get further into this mansion. But like, how do I do this then? So you must, and I must still save ammo. You don't know what's around the corner. And I think that just made it just like every battle was like, do I kill this thing or do I shoot it till it gets on the floor? Then I run away. Do I run away? Do I do this?
Because also, if you run away, you know that you're going to have to go back on that path again later.
Yeah.
And you're so like, do I kill him now or do I kill him later? Hopefully, I find more ammo in the next room or I find a better gun in the next room.
Is it a horror Metal Gear Solid?
No.
Uh-uh.
It's not. It's very, like, I'd say it's very different. I think it's more puzzle-based. Yeah. So like the only way to get forward is to figure out like the puzzles to get through to like the end. But it's like Brad was saying, it's also like conserving your ammo. You also had like limited space to carry items. So now you must also conserve like, do I have enough stuff or must I backtrack?
Yeah.
Can I save my game? All of that.
You couldn't save anyway.
You could. Only in one specific spot.
And you needed...
Is that what you mean?
That's what I mean. Like you had to go to
a room.
The room and go record in the book or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And you also had like a limited number of times you could save. Like you had to pick up items.
Nah, guys. You're so missing already.
And like that was like part of like what made it like, I think the harder elements because you had to be like smart about it. I can see, yes.
I'm not smart. No, I'm angry with the game now. This whole episode is just going to make me hate this game more.
But I think also, like, it was so different. I don't know for you, like, it's sort of, like, one of the things, like, with the design was, like, a de-emphasized action. Like, every game was, like, shooting, move forward. This was, like, I need to get around this, whether I shoot it or, like, I run away. I just need to get around this thing, but... Because I can, like, kill this, waste my ammo, next room, there's a boss. Now you're like, Yeah, I could have used this ammo earlier.
Yeah, and then you bug it. Like, if you save in the wrong place and you don't have enough ammo, you have to go backtrack. Or if you saved over your previous save file, start the game again. Like,
was this one of the games where you have multiple saves?
I do that, yeah.
And then you go, okay, we're going to wipe the first one because we got three that's already banked over there.
That's what I do.
Okay, I'm a bit further, but I don't want to be too far from this one. So, like, okay, I'll save it here.
Yeah.
So you started with three?
I started with three, yeah.
And then did you go back to 2-1?
No. So I only... So basically my trajectory with Resident Evil was 3, 4, 5 maybe. Then I went back because then I had the means
To get the other
stuff. So then I bought... It's in the stack over here. I bought I've spoken about it before. I bought a GameCube version of the remake of Resident Evil 1.
Which is really good.
It's so good.
That's how you know you're addicted, where you're buying consoles you can only imagine.
Yeah. And so then I went and played that on the Nintendo Wii using the GameCube controller and stuff. And then I emulated RE2 for PS1, which is not the best idea once you've played...
On PC?
I think it was on PC, yeah. Yeah, I used at the time a PS4 controller on my PC like that. But like, nah, doesn't work. I tried it again very recently, like maybe a month ago with my... It doesn't matter. I think it was with my Xbox controller on PC emulation, Resident Evil 2 OG. Just couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. And we've spoken about it before with Siphon Filter, with a lot of games. Leave it. Leave it there. And we'll get to it later. But that's where the remakes come in, where it refreshes the whole thing. It keeps the same story. It keeps the feel, elevates it.
Yeah, yeah.
But you get to play through the story with much better gameplay.
So that's the thing that I'm looking for SSX.
Yeah.
Any of them, for any of the consoles. But I fear playing them because I go,
you don't know if it's going to hold up.
What if it's bad? No. What if it's not as cool as I remembered?
Well, you must just play for like 5 minutes, see, and then be like, no, let's not tarnish this.
Well, I mean, you've got a copy of SSX 3 coming next week for PS2.
Yes.
And what Gage said in last week's episode, he said it still holds up.
Yeah.
So
let's hope.
Yeah.
Trust and believe. Yeah. And then,
you know, like Brad, you were saying, like the old games don't hold up. So like, it's weird because the early 2000s Resident Evil games just, They didn't hold up. Like, you had Code Veronica, you had Outbreak, all of that. And you could feel like that controls system, like, just, it's not working so lekker anymore. Because, no. You know, like it's like PS2 era now. Things are a bit more sophisticated. Yeah. You're like, does this...
But also, isn't that what you want, though? You want a game that's made for now. Like, it's made with the optimum. Because one thing with Resident Evil, I always feel like the graphics was always the most current. Like the cutscenes and stuff that they were rolling with.
Yeah, for the time, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, what's his name? Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
It looked clean.
The cutscenes were always good. Even if the gameplay was whatever, I'm not a fan of it, but I go, it always looked good.
Yeah.
But then you go in a year's time, you go, yay.
But one of the things, and I don't know if you have this to talk about, but one of the things that made it always look good, even, well, maybe from 2 onwards, is the pre-rendered 3D backgrounds with a fixed camera angle.
Yes.
So the pre-rendered 3D backgrounds looked amazing for the time. And then you've got your maybe a little bit lower res character running through it. But that's what always made Resident Evil
stand out
just because it always looked clean, man. Like, it really did.
Didn't notice that. They used the same technology like Mortal Kombat in the first one.
Yeah, exactly.
just make the character look real. It doesn't need to be real, but just look real.
But they did the other way with Resident Evil. Make the background look real. And then the character can look more blocky. It's fine, whatever. Yeah.
Also, Resident Evil was of the first, I think, games where you could shoot the dogs.
Yeah, we had to.
You actually wanted to because these dogs were like, yo, nah.
So and how did you feel about that, Brad? Because Brad is Brad does great work for dogs. Brad has a gang of dogs by his house, if you don't know.
What I will say is that needs be, man. Like,
bitches were asking.
Yeah. But talking about the dogs, and we'll move on to the next round of games now, but the very first jump scare in Resident Evil 1, jump scare, not the first scare of the zombie, and it's one of the most iconic jump scares in gaming, like people still talk about it, is when the dogs jump through the window in RE1. You don't see it coming. You're walking down this hall and everything seems chilled.
And just
smash through the glass.
And you're just like, oh shit, I'm not... It's the first encounter you have with dogs. So you're like, what the fuck is going on?
Shoot the dogs.
But yeah, the early 2000s for Resident Evil were a bit rough because it was still trying to hold on to those tank controls, you know, the fixed camera angles, and PS2 was like, nah, guys, we're beyond this. We've moved on. And that kind of led them to go in a different direction.
So PS1 had what, Resident Evils?
PS1 had, of the mainline series, 1, 2, 3. And then it also had...
on PS1.
Mm. Yeah. And then it also had Resident Evil Survivor, which was like a light gun game. It's not good.
No.
It's not good at all. I actually had that. And
did you have the gun?
No, I didn't. You could use the controller. That's how bad it was. You could use the controller and it was no different.
So yeah, imagine playing Duck Hunt with a controller.
Nice.
It's not right. So then what did PS2 have?
PS2 had Resident Evil Survivor. It had Resident Evil... No, Zero was on GameCube by that generation. Resident Evil Zero. Then there was Dead Aim, which was also a Lycan game.
It's a lot.
Outbreak, File 1 and 2. And Code Veronica. Those were like the ones that came out then. And then on Game Boy, there was Resident Evil Gaiden, which was also not great.
Yeah. But you're forgetting... The big boy on PS2.
I wanted to lean into that. Yeah. So like, this was still like the old scheme.
Yeah.
Then they were like, nah, we have to do something new with this. So first, they came out, more action heavy game, but more supernatural. Capcom was like, nah. And they came out with Devil May Cry. They took the formula for that.
Oh.
And they made the original Devil May Cry, which, here's a fun fact. This started like the whole hack and slash action revolution, which in a way led to like God of War coming about.
Yeah.
So in a way, Resident Evil is responsible for God of War.
Yeah.
But Resident Evil went in a very, very action heavy sense, and then it went on to one of the greatest games of all time. And I'm going to get Brad to talk about it because he has two copies of it. It's actually three because there's a remake here as well.
Okay, before we
probably
get
like a fourth one.
Yeah, discuss buying so many copies before you get into the game. What happened?
So the one copy has been my copy of so we're talking about Resident Evil 4, right? The one copy has been the copy I've had since I first bought it. Had it forever. And then I was at the Milnerton market and I saw someone selling another version, well, this PS2 version for like $50. And I'm like, I just can't not buy this. I just have to buy it. And I don't know if I bought it to maybe resell or just to have, but I just bought it.
Guys, the Woodies show is coming for Brad.
Yeah.
It's also Brad's Bins, Woodies edition.
In the chokehold, he was like, no. Yo.
But it is my favorite PS2 game of all time. And so far, my favorite PS5. And, the remake, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's just like games like Gears of War. I think The Last of Us all borrow very heavily from RE4 because it went more like action over the shoulder, shooting more dynamic. Yeah.
I also have it on Wii, by the way.
You see, this guy is just pulling out more copies.
Brad has a tattoo here of RE4 also.
He has the cover tattooed on.
And also, so let me get into it, right? So like I said, I had only played 3 and I loved it on PS1. Then many years later, I had my PS2 and I was walking. I can tell you the exact shop I bought it in. I was in Tiger Valley. My parents were doing their thing. I went into this random CD shop in Tiger Valley. I can tell you exactly where it is still. It's a clothing shop now, which kills me. But walked into like the gaming section and I'm just looking, and then I didn't know it was out, Resident Evil 4. And I'm like, oh shit, that's the next one of the game that I loved on PS1. So I picked it up and I can't remember how much I paid for it. Back then it must have been like $200 or something. I don't even know how much PS4 games
but you
were brand new.
First then,
brand new, yeah.
Of the shelf. Good to go.
And
wasted no time.
Yeah. I'm like, let me try this out.
Yeah.
I went home, popped it in my PS2. I didn't leave my room. Like, nice. I was sold from the get-go. And another thing that had inspired me was the very first thing you see, or one of the very first things you see, is Leon Kennedy, who is, I didn't know, was the lead of Resident Evil 2, because I hadn't played the game by then. I just saw him, his fringe. Now, where's the picture?
When we talk about how Resident Evil became God of War, Devil May Cry, and then God of War, we must also speak about how Resident Evil also gave Wave to Brad's
emo phase
with the hair over his eye, My Chemical Romance, all of that. Just
so Leon was my style icon.
myself.
Did you ever get the jacket?
I didn't get the jacket. Yeah. No.
Somebody send Brad a jacket.
I will cosplay at Comic Con in a few months as Leon Kennedy. I'll grow my fringe. Everything.
And like that.
I will. I 100% will. But so. Yeah, so I was only used to, like I said, the PS1 version with the tank controls, which I liked at the time because it was still fresh, you know what I mean? But then RE4 comes out, you've got a third-person view again, but now it's like a little bit of an over-the-shoulder view. So it's a different perspective. You're almost seeing it more from Leon's perspective, or your character's perspective, Leon. And there's no tank controls. It's free-roaming third-person in a sandbox world kind of thing.
Oh, wow. It's pretty big, like off the bat.
It's massive. The game takes so long to finish and it's scary from the get-go. The very first encounter
in the village.
No. Before that, when you go into the cabin.
Oh, yes.
So the story is you're now like in RE2, you were like a rookie cop on his first day. And then you uncover this whole flipping conspiracy with Umbrella Corporation, blah, blah, blah. Then Resident Evil 3 happens, but 3 and 2 happen at the same time within the game world.
Okay.
More or less the same time. Then 4 comes out, I think it's like 10 years after.
Yeah, it's like
something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah. And then Leon is now working for the president of the United States, and the president's daughter has been kidnapped. And now then he sends Leon to go find her.
Isn't that Rush Hour?
Yeah, but it's only one banana that gets sent in.
Yeah, I think you're right, though. It's Rush Hour. It's also Rambo. It's also...
It's everything. So then the first thing is you go into this house. You don't know what's going on. There's no signs of anything bad. You go into this house and then this villager attacks you with an axe and you have to kill him.
Yeah.
And then you get attacked by more of them and that leads you into the game. And the cool thing about 4 as well is that it moved away from the zombies. Now it's like a new plague, a new virus that the people are more, the enemies are more humanoid vibes. Yeah, so they can run, they can dodge bullets, they can do things.
Like Last of Us vibes.
The worst.
Worse, yeah. Because they're like, they can think and they can flank you and they've got chainsaws, they've got axes, they've got knives.
Oh. So what's crazy is like, I just remember that opening. So you end up in a village and when you go to the village, these people are like, burning one of the police officers alive at the stake that you came with. And you're just like, oh, they're hostile.
Like they're people, basically.
Yeah.
And
like, you have to kind of take them on.
Is this the racist one that you guys were talking about?
No, that's 5.
Okay, we'll get to that one.
Then like, you encounter them, you kind of have to fight them off. But with a potato sack over his head and a chainsaw comes after you and he can like break down doors and things and you're just like, oh, okay, it's this type of game. But they made it like a lot more fun in that there's like ladders and things to traverse. You can jump through windows in buildings. Okay. So like one of the things I enjoyed doing was like going up a ladder. They'd follow you, kick the ladder down, they all fall down. And then they pick it up and they come back. Then you kick it down again.
Oh, so they were smart. Like they could use the surroundings. Like
yeah, they made them all. Like smart. So you had to like think now. Now you couldn't just muscle your way through.
I don't know if you're going to get to it, but I'm just going to go now back to Nemesis. Nemesis was an iconic bad guy.
100%.
Like he was like in PlayStation's history of bad guys and villains, he must be there.
I would think so. Yeah. I would definitely think so because in the OG game, we'll talk about my...
This is the one with the big arm and the big eye.
Not a big eye.
Just the big arm and the...
They're on the cover.
And the burnt face.
Yeah, he's like basically just this patched together weird monstrosity with a...
He's like Bane and Frankenstein.
Yeah, that's
that
a good...
That is a very good way of looking at it.
In the original game, he's just this presence that you feel following you all the time. And then every now and then he'll jump through a window or he'll... shoot through a door and then just start chasing you. And you can't kill him.
So he chases you throughout the whole game.
You can stop him. If you have a powerful gun, you can knock him out pretty much and then run away. And then you just know he's going to come back. So that's what made that game super scary as well. Cause you're like, it could happen anytime now that he just busts through this door and it makes you even more scared to go through the next door because he could be there and the zombies, and he could run, and he had a bazooka. He could shoot at you.
Again, that's the one thing I also never understood is like, you're so big. Why do you have a bazooka also? Like, it doesn't, like, it's too much powers. They were meant to nerf you before we got to the game.
No, they were like, we're going all in with this. But like you were saying, the craziest part.
Does he ever come back? Like, do they have recurring characters? Like I know Leon, but like,
is he MCU? Like,
no. Yeah, do they have like.
Not enemies.
No, not enemies. So he in the game is designed to kill the members of STARS, who were like the team from the first game. So in RE3, you play as one of the remaining members of STARS.
Well, STARS is a boring name.
Yeah, they
it's like a cheesy thing. Let's go after the STARS. Oh, guys.
So he's basically sent just.
Who do you play? What's the name?
You play as Jill Valentine in that one. And so he's basically just sent to like hunt the remaining members who know everything about that. And what made it dope was like, what made it cack scary was like, like you were saying, he could appear in random encounters, which for PS1, you go, that's like unheard of. You would just like rock up and you're like, oh shit. Like there were set pieces, but like also random encounters. But they did make it worthwhile. So you'd get like rare items if you did knock him out, and you get like better weapons.
But yeah, it makes it easier throughout the game. But
yeah, so you have to, but you have to fight him in that moment, which makes it harder.
I saw the trailer for the new Inside Out. Did you guys see it?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. And then they introduce new characters into the brain. One of them is anxiety. And I feel like this game is the game that introduces anxiety to your world.
100%.
Oh, yes.
It just makes you start worrying as a child. You're like, oh, shit. Things outside of my control can happen to me. Yep, we're going to die today.
How many remakes are there of 3?
One.
Just one.
4? Which one? PS4?
Yeah, PS4.
And 5. It's like for the current and last generation.
So they've only made a remake of one of each of them. Well, almost each of them once, like the original three. Well, four.
Four.
So like once, which is kind of funny because the original remake of one came out on GameCube, which was like in 2001 or 2.
I think it was 2.
And they haven't remade it, which is like,
yeah, they're sitting on gold property.
Wait, let's talk about the remakes later after we talk about the OGs.
Yes. Yeah.
Just quickly, we spoke about there's no recurring enemies. There's one. Sunglasses.
Oh yeah.
Albert Wesker. He's the recurring
villain,
big bad throughout the whole series. He doesn't appear in every game.
But he exists in the universe of...
He's kind of the one pulling like all the strings. So in the first game, the surprise is like he's with your team. He's like your team leader, basically. And then you discover, he's the villain. And that was actually like quite a plot twist because you're like, oh, great, it's one of ours. Like, now I must go fight you.
It's basically an episode of Law and Order with zombies.
he's the evil resident.
And as goes along, he basically becomes almost like more supernatural because he infects himself more and more with the virus.
Yeah.
So he can literally dodge bullets. He's quite crazy.
Yeah, so he's in one...
He's not in 2.
He's not in 3 either.
Yeah.
And then he appears in 4 in the DLC of 4 with Ada. So then you can see that he's pulling strings in the background of 4 as well.
He's in Code Veronica as
In Code Veronica. And then we'll get to the next game, which he also plays a big role in.
That is 5. That's the racist one where they went to Africa and everybody is a zombie, basically. He's infected. Yeah. And it's just
an
like...
an excuse for you to attack Africans.
In broad daylight.
But that was the one with the violent... there was a trailer that... I think it was a trailer that came out for that. And it was just like... I just remember it being like a lot of violence towards black people in the thing.
Was it
that one?
It must have been that one that you saw because that's what that game is.
Almost all like the standard enemies are like infected black people. Like...
And why is it in Africa? Like, do they just decide Africa?
So as the story goes, like the whole thing of where, what creates the plague comes from like Africa. It's like in this cave.
Yeah.
But I thought the lady created it.
They distilled it from like this flower that grows there specifically.
But you must remember now the first 3 games is a specific virus. Then from 4 is a completely new one. And 5 is like a version of that. Well, 4
it
is a version
of
it.
Goes back. It's yeah. basically...
They're retroactively saying like how...
They were COVID vibes. They were like, yeah, pre-COVID yeah. is...
So the first 3 games are is a zombie virus. Then it goes to that virus that...
Like a plague.
It's like a plague that infects humans, but makes them crazy. Like The Last of Us in a way, makes them crazy and makes them violent, but also makes them follow like a leader that's pulling the strings as well.
Yeah. And 5 is kind of like where it came from, like how they found it, how they discovered it. There's a lot of lore that goes into it. Mm-hmm. But 5 is by far my least favorite one. And it's not even just the racism. I think it was just like, it went too action heavy and it was just like, it lost, it wasn't scary anymore.
No.
It's like that community thing. Like, I can excuse racism, but action heavy.
That's exactly as you were saying.
It's like, the racism is one thing, but you know what? I can't get along.
So glad I never said that.
I had to say it. Like,
thank you for taking one for
like,
me. Yeah.
Really like,
good man knows his place.
Yeah, I know. 5.
5 and 6 were like, yeah, it wasn't. It was just
too action heavy. 5 took place mainly during the daytime outside.
Mm, that's not when we see zombies.
No, it's not when you feel tense at all. It just feels like the tension you feel in 5 is because there's too many enemies almost.
Right-ish.
And also, you have a fucking AI partner with you that always goes and gets into shit.
Oh, and then you must.
And then you have to go rescue, and then you have to heal them, and then it's
pretty much.
RE5 is meant to be played co-op. So you play as Chris and then your friend plays as Shiva. But you're not always going to have that.
Yeah.
So you play it as the normal story mode and then she just becomes a lass. Like, and that's another thing. So it's like, it's not scary. It's too action focused. It's a lass with your AI. And overall, the thing I'm most pissed off about is the racism.
Just for clarity,
clip that.
Coming back, clip like, that. I see what Charlie did. Charlie messed up, but I'm gonna save it for myself.
Yeah, and then also like the ending was just very like, you fight in a volcano, the final boss, Wesker,
and
fight in a volcano.
Can I just ask them quickly for outsiders? Do you know what happens in that volcano? There's quite a big meme about it with a big boulder. Have you heard about this? Okay, so it's not as big as I thought it was.
So the thing of when I hear fights in volcanoes, then I go, you are the higher ground.
Yep.
That's the only scene I know. And then when Frodo falls in, that's volcano move. Yep. And
you know, you've gone full over the top when there's a volcano.
Yeah, no. It's unnecessary because someone must die.
Yeah, so that gave birth to quite a big meme in the Resident Evil world, in the gaming world. And that is because you're playing as Chris Redfield now, who was one of the main characters in the first game. And is the brother of one of the main characters in the second game.
And so was
and is the partner of yeah, exactly. And is the partner of the main character in the third part, like police partner of
and
the character
with Rich Forrester.
Probably, yeah.
It's also
and so Chris now he's like in the first game and Code Veronica, he's like a little bit skinny, like normal looking oak. And then in the fifth game, he's this jacked, like
he's buff.
And so in the final thing, Wesker, who's your main enemy now. There's like a boulder in your way and you need to get to Wesker. And Chris Redfield pushes up again. This thing's the size of this garage compared to us. He takes and he just starts punching the boulder, eventually getting it out of the way. And that just, everyone was like, what? You're a human.
You didn't have a gun or?
He had a gun.
But he just punched the boulder.
But he punched the boulder.
But he had the will to fight.
And he had to tap E on computer to punch the boulder.
So you also physically had to do it also.
Mm-hmm. And then in Resident Evil 8, you haven't played RE8 yet, eh?
I haven't played 8.
So Resident Evil Village, which is 8, you fight a boss. So Chris returns in RE8, right? And you can play as him, right? He fights a boss in Resident Evil 8. And the boss goes, I'm going to kill you, you boulder punching asshole.
So how did the boss know?
Exactly. That was my thing. As soon as I heard it, I'm like, this is 20 years later. How did you know that Chris punched the boulder?
The boss on the internet watching the memes about this brother punched boulders.
But yeah, so RE5 was a misstep. It's not my least favorite. My least favorite is 6. But
They're basically on the same ground.
They're the same game, basically. But it took... I kind of like what they did with the story in a way, and it brought back Jill Valentine, who I really like as a character. She's the main character in Resident Evil 3. She comes back in Resident Evil 5 in like quite a weird, fun way, which is cool in a way.
Yeah.
Don't really like...
It gets over the whole thing.
It's over the top. It's an over the top action film.
So that's the thing. Stay in your world.
Exactly.
You know, like if you're bringing me demon, like if you're bringing me zombies, don't bring demons. Those are two different things.
Yeah.
Like don't bring ghosts. Don't bring like supernatural. Because zombies is not supernatural.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it's a different sphere.
Which game has the Napoleon guy?
Four.
Is he? So he's the big bad
one of.
One of. He's no. sort of yeah. We're gonna get you to play all of them. Yeah.
So. I just know him from the memes, like the
Napoleon guy. Ramon Salazar.
He's a very tough boss in the remake. Oh my goodness. He's like one of the toughest.
Who's this lady?
That's Jill Valentine.
So why another reason I couldn't get on board? Because this lady is running in a short skirt by the jersey around her waist.
And heels
outside at night fighting zombies. Please put the jersey on or throw the jersey. Why you still have the jersey around your waist? No. And now where are you keeping all the guns? I don't believe any of this.
Good point.
That is funny.
So yeah, then came Resident Evil 6. And they tried something.
Yeah.
It's the cover art. I don't care about any of the game. Yeah. The cover art.
The cover art gives it away.
Yeah. It doesn't look like a 6. It just looks like a giraffe having a happy time from someone in front of him.
They gave that to a disgruntled employee who was like, you're going to live with this for the rest of your days.
So I don't blame the employee. I blame the person that signs off the badge. Like, because how many people must see it?
Yeah, no.
Quality control, there's it.
But, yeah.
Hope you guys will zoom in and see this. It looks like a giraffe.
In a very sexy position with another person.
Very weird. Again, I don't even see a 6 in it. I don't see like a villain's face in it. I don't see, you know, like you're supposed to give me like something of the game. Horrible storytelling.
Then they went in a totally, we're going to glaze over 6 because 6 is like, whatever.
I just want to say one thing that 6, I think, tried something that didn't succeed, but they tried. It's 3 stories. You can play 3 campaigns and you can choose which one to play. One as Leon, you go back and play as him. One as Chris, you go back and play as him. And one as the son of Albert Wesker.
Yeah, that's right.
And then, but all the Leon's one is quite zombie focused, can be scary at times, but then it turns action. There's a helicopter chasing you and shooting at you. You have to jump over buses and through.
Cities, like literally the whole world gets infected.
It becomes like a 5 and 6 are like very quick time event focused as well. So the less we say about it, the better. Like 6 doesn't have any impact on any story in RE6, I don't think.
They knew they were doing.
The Resident Evil world, I don't think.
And then 7.
So 7 went in a totally different direction. So 7, new character, and they went for first person. Well, 7 originally started as a VR game, I don't want to say exclusive, but it could be. And it went kind of back to its roots, where it was like, your character, Ethan Winters, is looking for his wife. She went missing. Tracks her down to this house and there's this family and they are demented as fuck.
Yeah.
And they are like, hunting you down. They're basically unkillable because they've been infected with this virus, but you don't know that. And 7 is honestly like, I think the scariest game in the series for me.
I agree. Definitely agree.
You just feel like you're in this house, you feel like you're alone, but you're not also.
How does it compare to something like Silent Hill?
It's very different. I think
Silent Hill was like spooky.
If I can describe Resident Evil 7, it's first person Texas Chainsaw Massacre set in the Resident Evil universe. So, and it's also first person. So we didn't say that it went from third person all of the first 6 and including the others. Now it's first person.
Yeah, and that's a no from me.
You in like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre house. This family are like those like hillbilly type people, and they chase after you with massive hammers and knives and guns as well. And
like the thing about first person that I don't like, especially with scary games, is that I don't know what's behind me.
100%,
and that's where the fear lies of going. Because you can't, like, if you look away, there's something else that's going to...
There's like a jump scare in the game where you're just walking down the corridor and it's like, it takes a bend and you turn and Jack Baker, who's like the main villain in the game, is just like standing, but he's looking away. And it's such a jump scare because you're just like, oh, fuck, don't move fast. Yeah. I need to get the fuck away from this. Like,
you, nope. I think out of all the Resident Evil games, 7 and 8, you guys would hate the most.
You are not selling me on these games.
But we are going to force you to play it. Saeed is being sacrificed in Yas instead to play and them.
I'll do it for content.
I also like how, like 7 almost feels like a standalone game. Like you don't really need to know the other games, but I like that it does tie into the Resident Evil world with certain things like, Chris Redfield's back, for example, with another redesign. He looks totally different again. He's lost some muscle weight and he now works for Umbrella, who were the main bad guys, but now they've rebranded and hired Chris to like be head of, was it Umbrella? Am I lying? Cause it was the BCSA or something like that.
That's like the US BMC or something.
Yeah, something like that.
And they basically like track down and destroy all of like Umbrella's creations.
Yes.
So they basically used Chris's spite. In the, like you hate them.
Come work for us.
Come work for us and go kill this stuff.
So why does he have the spite? What do they, did you guys?
Because they've been trying to kill him since the first game.
Oh, because he's part of Stars.
Look, so, I was right. Chris Redfield works for Umbrella in RE7.
Oh, so it's like a branch of Umbrella.
Yeah, they've like rebranded and now they're like kind of trying to fix their mistakes almost.
So
kind
he's
of
trying thing. To kill them before they kill him.
Yeah, basically Umbrella make bioweapons. All the zombies are supposed to be like weapons, but they kind of went out of control.
Did they ever get anything right? Because it seems like they just
Nemesis. Nemesis they got right.
Yeah.
Nemesis and Mr. X they got right.
Yeah.
Mr. X.
Sorry,
Mr. X is like Nemesis.
Arrested Development.
But yeah, those two games got it back into horror, and then they did the remakes. So they did Resident Evil 2, 3, and 4. And basically they, for me, what they did was they took everything right with those games, like what made those games scary and like iconic of those times, and they reskinned it to like the PS4, like that generation. So it captured everything you wanted. It literally felt like you were replaying that game.
Nice.
Yeah.
As a new game. Like they are so, so good. For me, I would say like if you want to jump into those games, Resident Evil 2 and 3 is like the best springboard into like the series. And that's where Saeed will be starting.
I'm going to start with 6, play 5, and then I'm going to do 3.
Not a good idea.
And then
5 is ridiculous.
A lot of every time we play the game.
5 is long. It's unnecessarily long. It's like probably like 30 odd hours.
Who of these characters went to other games? Wasn't there like a fighting game where Leon was in?
I think they're all in that Marvel vs. Capcom.
Like also, I think Leon was in, there was that Sony All-Star Brawl or something like that, which is, I think Leon was in there and Chris maybe.
I think Chris was in Marvel vs. Capcom 3 in the newer ones. But yeah, like the remakes just got everything right about like making it scary, but also making a bit more like action heavy, focused on that, got the puzzles right. 3 was a bit of a misstep. And apparently it's because that people were like too scared of Mr. X in 2. And so they dialed back on Nemesis in 3. And then they were like, people were like, no, but we wanted more Nemesis. Yeah. And it's like,
yeah,
what is going on?
I think they missed a trick. Yeah, they missed X. They missed a trick by not making Nemesis what Mr. X was in the two remake. Because the 2 remake, Mr. X is following you throughout basically the whole game. You can hear his footsteps. You don't know when he's going to...
Yes, anxiety.
Yeah, he's just knowing you.
That's almost how, like we said, how Nemesis was in the original 3.
Yeah.
But they didn't make him that in the remake of 3. They made him just pop up. Not even randomly. It definitely was scripted, of course, but it felt not as great as it was in the original 3, in my opinion. I actually really fucking hate that game, the remake. I really do.
Yeah, I just checked now. So Leon S. Kennedy? Is that just Leon Kennedy? Leon Kennedy, there's a zombie and Claire Redfield wearing Trick and Snowboarder.
Okay.
Nice. And then Jill was in We Love Golf as well, as a playable character.
So they've been exported.
Nice.
Yeah, and a whole lot of Capcom like fighting games. And
yeah, of course.
They just Brothers like, Portal. Yeah, go forth. We have lots of characters.
I love seeing characters in other games. It's
yeah.
I don't know why. It just feels like it's things I know in other places.
Shrek in Tony Hawk.
Spider-Man in Tony Hawk. I was going to ask Brad, what is your favorite direction between those two, like the remakes and like the RE7 mainline? What do you prefer?
Personally, I prefer the direction the remakes went in, but just because I prefer the third person horror aspect of it. Like I know...
But you usually like scary good, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it. But like, so I know seven is super scary, but at a point in the game, which I think controversially a lot, all Resident Evils get, the final third gets a bit wacky.
It kind of has to.
It has to, but it like, how can I say? So in seven, it's when you get onto the ship, when you're playing as Mia.
Yeah.
And then it just takes you out of the horror. Then you're just surviving. It's not survival horror. It's survival.
Yeah.
Survive.
Eight is the same village. So throughout village, you're playing as Ethan. Again, the same character from seven. Then it switches and you then playing as Chris Redfield.
And that's where
it lost me again. You know what I mean? It's like then because Chris comes in with a machine gun and he's just mowing down the enemies and stuff like
Chris
that.
Is like,
and
I'm here for violence.
Chris, yeah, he gets flown in by a helicopter. He gets dropped in. Him and his team just come in and kill all the werewolves and stuff like that. So there's a point in those games that lose me, but which I still love them, but they lose me. Then in the remakes, they do the same. Like it takes a turn in Resident Evil 2. It's when they go into Umbrella's Into the Hive, for example. Yeah. Still very scary and very good. RE3, it's when Jill also goes into the Hive, or Jill goes into some other labs. And 4... No, 4 is good. 4 is good. But I was just thinking
four,
now.
4 is, for me, it's once you... I don't want to say like it's just after the castle where it does get a bit more over the top.
I'm trying to think what happens right at the end.
Did you say werewolves?
There's werewolves in RE8, yeah.
If there's vampires, there's that's werewolves. I feel like it's in the same...
Basically, the plague and the T-virus can create any evil out there. And that's kind of like the fine flexibility of it. They can be like, you want werewolves? We got werewolves.
But it's that thing of like, keep your world together. If you want to give me zombies, keep it with zombies. But now we must get onto the worst part of these games, the movies.
I mean, they're there. The first one is like, it's fine. It's enjoyable. I enjoyed it.
I think it was just fine. Like, the thing of the nostalgia, like, as a child or so, having a game made, you guys know, like, there's hype. Like, we all want to watch it. Whether we're going to love it or hate it, we're still going to watch it.
Yeah.
And I feel like the first one was good only because the game had us.
Also, the first one felt like a version of the games, though. That there was Umbrella, they went into the Hive, there was the virus outbreak, the zombies and everything. Going forward, maybe 2 was good in a very small way, but the rest were like, it's almost like then they went in the Resident Evil 5 game direction of just action heavy, stupid, over the top shit, wacky characters,
fan service. The scene we have it from the game, and it's just like
these two sucked absolute
dick. Which ones are those though? That's the only ones.
This is like 5 and 6, I think, or 4 and 5.
There were too many of them.
There were like 7 movies.
Went with Miller is Chris
Redfield, the worst Chris Redfield. That's
crazy. Also, this is the only memorabilia of
the movies
of Resident Evil that Saeed owned.
This is all I know about Resident Evil. I didn't know there were games when we pulled up here today. I was like, okay, we're talking about movies.
Yeah, no, the movies, the first movie was okay. I can still rewatch the first movie.
The first one had the iconic scene of the lasers cutting the guy.
Yeah. Yes.
Other than that, I go, because they never showed us anything of the game. That's why I hated it, because I go,
they try to make it its own thing, but also they wanted the fan service. So you're like, my guys, pick one. Yeah.
Was there a werewolf movie? Wasn't there like a werewolf?
You think of Van Helsing?
No, man. Wasn't there a Resident Evil movie that was something about werewolves or something?
To be honest with you, I haven't seen them. Also, maybe, but
because that's
they tried to remake the movies twice. No, they did a series.
Oh God, I forgot about those.
it was two series or one movie, one series. They were both trash. One was set in Cape Town.
Literally set in the in Resident Cape Evil series, Netflix series, is based in Cape Town. Filmed here and based in Cape Town.
Is it on Netflix still?
Yeah.
Okay. It's garbage.
That's going to be on the list.
The opening scene is this woman battling a giant worm at the Artscape.
Nice.
trash.
Don't say anything. So that was a trash. That was a very trash series. And then the movie, Welcome to Raccoon City, almost like tried to encapsulate Resident Evil 1 and 2 into one movie.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work.
They also didn't get Nemesis right. That's the other thing. Oh, no. I wanted to see Nemesis in the full scale and size that he is in the game.
Did they not even try to just do like an anime movie like
back that, in the so, day?
There is an animated movie series and they are actually pretty good. And they follow the main storyline.
But no, there's no way. You were speaking so
I haven't seen the latest one. What's it called?
Death Island.
Yes. And it's the same character models from the games as like Leon, Claire, Jill, Chris. And it's CGI animated like those Final Fantasy movies.
Nice. Yeah.
So it's go watch that rather.
And it's canon within the game. So it follows the story of the game. So
I can miss that if it's more. Another reason why I didn't like Final Fantasy because none of them were connected.
Yeah.
Very, very thinly connected if they were in.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Underworld. To me, they seem like. Underworld, I thought she was in Underworld. I don't know.
Was she in there?
No. Kate Beckinsale.
Who looks the same?
Close enough.
I mean, the final Resident Evil movie with Mila Jovovich was. Well, they were all filmed in. The last few were filmed in Cape Town as well. And the worst.
It's trash.
Someone died on that set, a stunt gone wrong kind of thing. And apparently it wasn't handled very well. And it just...
You were having fun with this podcast. Now,
sorry.
Real person.
I've got insider information on that one movie. And apparently the director would rewrite scenes on the day of filming. I'll cut this out. Just for you guys.
No, it's fine.
That's the clip.
Yeah, there you go. And then they rock up onto set and be like, okay, well, we have to change everything now because the director... And he's the director of all them. He directed all of them.
Yeah.
You know how expensive it is to do stuff like that. Yeah. And
his wife is the...
Is Mila.
Is Mila Jovovich.
Nepotism works, guys.
And his daughter's in the movie as well. Yeah, daughter.
Nepotism works.
So, all in all, I think we could easily make this a 2 or 3-parter. We could have made Grand Theft Auto. But...
Yeah.
Going from the first three games... we didn't talk about, obviously, the spin-offs and stuff like that much. Code Veronica, actually, it's not really a spin-off. It's actually Resident Evil 2.5 or 1.5 in a way. 2.5 because it's Claire and Chris.
It's in between.
But
it was supposed to be 4, but then they were they didn't commit to it.
Yeah. But yeah, so Resident Evil, it's a weird one because 1, 2, 3, and 4 are all masterpieces in their own right. 3, maybe I see it with maybe rose-tinted glasses, but then 5 and 6 came... Very big stains on the series, but I think they're the two highest selling of the series, funnily enough. And then 7 and 8 came and just blew us out of the water again. And then they did the remakes and killed it with the remakes.
Are they bringing out 9?
Most likely. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think there's been talks, but
also how can I say the brand isn't washed out yet. People are still into it. You know that thing of I feel like Tekken had a washout moment where they should have ended it.
I think Resident Evil had those moments, but it managed to reinvent itself.
Yeah.
With 7, with 4, it managed to reinvent itself in such a pivotal way that it was we're back. The series isn't over yet.
And that's what Silent Hill didn't do.
Yeah. Mm. But I think that's a story for another day.
Yeah.
We can do another part to this podcast after Yasin and I both play some of the games.
That's a good idea.
Okay, I'm gonna play the first one.
I'm gonna play the 6th one and then we're gonna see
what's the highest one on the PlayStation 1.
What do you mean
3? Okay, then I'll start on 3.
Let's jump into a few Q&A's just to wrap things up. So that random angel asked, nothing golden about that. She's talking about your Golden Axe review. What do you think of Metal Slug?
Oh, Metal Slug is bulletproof. It's hands down of the best. It was funny. It was violent. It was action-packed. It ate a lot of my 50 cents. And also, I don't think I finished it until MAME came around. I've never finished Metal Slug at an arcade because I wasn't rich enough. But
it's an arcade must.
Yeah. Yeah. Best.
So, next question is Michael, Vape Guy, Shy. How did y'all meet?
I'm the problem. So Saeed is my brother-in-law, but brother. Shadley is my oldest friend. Met him on the second day of school. And then Brad is a stranger that slid into my DMs on Twitter and was like, yo, let's make a stupid cut. And this was years ago from Brad also. And then we've always just
look
been.
Look at us now.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought? Look at us now. And then we all love games. And then we were doing the things. Actually, yeah, then me and Shadley had a gaming show.
Yeah.
Shadley wrote on. And then. Once that ended, we were like, yo, let's just do our own thing.
Yeah.
Now we're in the garage.
And then Knights Use says, you guys should give game challenges to the community. We will work on that as soon as possible. Go play Resident Evil, since it's a Resident Evil episode.
Yeah.
Go play all of them. That's the challenge for the week. And then final...
Hang on. I see that one.
Yeah, I'm bringing it up. D&D Storytime said, you are cack old.
I've been telling them.
You part Thank of you. This. You are Thank part you. Of the you.
Thank you.
D&D underscore story time. I want to say rude words now. If D&D stands for Dungeons and Dragons, then you're also cuckold. Only old people play that cuck. We hate you as much as we hate ourselves.
I think that's it for today's podcast.
Yeah.
Guys, if you want any more episodes, go find the links. You know where the links
guys,
are.
Guys, if you know them. Where Kaka and Ka is, come to Kaka and Ka.
Yeah, Sin is alone there, please. He needs brasa.
Yo, I don't know what's going to clap. It's.
We're not going with him, Anita.
But we will work that week still. If you guys are in and around Kaka and Ka, stick it. And then also, if you're listening to this during Ramadan Kareem, from our family to yours, all the safe. Don't play too much games for the month. Some games is fine, but not all the games. That's the end of the episode. All I need to say.
I'm Saeed.
I'm Brad. Have a good week.
I'm Shadley.
Yasin, you can have whatever week you want. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life. This is the Coffee Controller Podcast. Bye.
Ciao.
Add me on Fortnite.